Rendezvous points and radio freaks are indicated and fixed. AWACS contact on 4-hour intervals.
Who's our backup?
No such thing, old buddy. This is a one-way ticket. Once we cross that border, we're on our own.
This is getting better by the minute.
It's a real nasty habit you got there.
Yeah, baby!
Podcast. My name's Mike.
Hi, I'm Emma.
And this is episode 32, Bad Habits. We're going to talk about...
Okay, so just before we go any further, I thought we were doing this on New Year's resolutions.
Yep.
Okay, good, because that's all the research and all the work that I've put into preparing for today, and now you're talking about bad habits.
Yep, because some of the New Year's resolutions that I have in mind are things to do with breaking some bad habits around the hobby. So I found a clip I really liked, which if you're listening to me now, you'll already have heard that awesome Long Tall Sally cut and edit from The Predator. So that's where the title came from. So no.
Right, okay. So while it's called, what was it?
Bad Habits.
Really, it's about how to keep New Year's resolutions.
Yeah. But
well, what I'm talking about is going to be about how to keep New Year's resolutions. we can just pick on some of Mike's bad habits.
Well, we've got we asked it on the Facebook page and asked about what sort of habits and things you want to break and some of the New Year's resolutions around the hobby. So I thought it was an appropriate one because we were talking, and the worst one that I have in my repertoire at the moment is paintbrush from paint to model to mouth.
Trust me, that is not the worst bad habit you have.
For hobby. Well, apart from cutting myself repeatedly with that Stanley knife. And look, yeah, I should stop cutting towards my hands. But it's just easier that way.
It'll be less easy if you chop your finger off.
Yeah, but I get enough callus on my hand, it'll be fine. Anyway.
Okay, so for any of the younger listeners, this is not what we advocate at all. Safety first, and cutting away from your body is always the safer option. Actually, for our older listeners, we also advocate the same.
I'm not going to argue it's the safer option. It just doesn't work as well.
Okay, you can't say that.
Why not?
Because it's bad advice to give to people who are just getting into a hobby.
I've just literally said I'm cutting chunks out of my thumb. But, you know, whatever. Hey, before we actually get to the topic of tonight, though, we've got to catch up on a few bits and pieces.
Well, let's start by saying Happy New Year.
Yes.
So we're somewhat late in recording this, but I'm hoping it's going to go out tonight.
No, it goes out on Wednesday.
Isn't today Wednesday?
Today's Tuesday.
Oh, so we're actually not late.
No.
There you go. Awesome. Okay, yeah, I thought today was Wednesday. So was going to say, you know, Happy New Year. We're recording this on the 1st and I have every intention that this will go out before midnight on the 1st. So that because my New Year's resolution is to make sure all the podcasts go out on time and, you know, how are we going to go with that? Awesome.
No, it means I'm going to be
up
late.
28 hours.
I'm going to be up late editing it so it's scheduled so that when we go out tomorrow, it just happens.
Nice.
So, no, we're actually on time.
Well, my Happy New Year still stands.
Yes, of course.
Merry Christmas.
And we hope that Santa brought you some nice toys and presents and looks after you and your family this year, and that you have started off 2019 in a positive manner, whether it's with hobby or something else.
Happy,
As you're aware, we only sort of got back from our trip a few weeks ago. We're back into the swing of things now. We've basically back into the normal schedule. We've done a couple of lives, and we're hopefully going to have the announcements by the time this goes live to at least something resembling the dates for 2019, if not within the sort of 24 to 48 hours afterwards. It depends on whether I can get anyone on the phone.
That's it. A lot of people are still on leave until next week. So.
Yeah. So we've actually got a couple of things to cover now that we are back into the routine as well. First of all is my Titan. And
I'm really sorry if this is all you're hearing about. It's all I'm hearing about.
Well, it's tough. It's nearing assembly completion.
Mm-hmm.
It's sat here now with shoulders and armor plates and stuff starting to go on it. I've run out of glue though, and
the poor patrons are getting updates on it sometimes every 15 minutes. So
hey, look, the patrons are happy. I think.
Sure. Just because I haven't told you they're bored with it, it doesn't mean they're happy.
Well, I don't care. They're still going to get it anyway, unless someone tells me otherwise.
Okay, you Titan.
So yeah, it's now probably. I need one more pack of the epoxy to get the. To get the main parts of the hull together, and I've already started adding some of the detail pieces with the Loctite super glue. So
I'm somewhat annoyed about that actually, because
why?
When I went to Bunnings to get your Christmas present, I asked them for Loctite, and they're the ones who gave me the Araldite.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Well, anyway, that Araldite will get used regardless. It's just not going to get used on this big load-bearing piece that has to go in next. Speaking of our patrons, we have to say thank you to them for supporting us through 2018, the tail end of 2018 when we launched it, and then obviously now into 2019.
Mm-hmm.
We hit double digits over the break as well, which was very exciting for us. So we now have 10 patrons.
Mm-hmm. And we did manage to get the podcast recorded today and out on time. So this is our second podcast for the day.
Oh, sorry. Second podcast for the day, but third for the patrons only edition.
Yeah, there's three up there for the patrons, but I'm saying this is the second one we recorded today.
If you're interested in checking out the patron page, you can head over to patreon.com/objectivesecured, or just go to patreon.com and search for Objective Secured. You'll find us there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into different pledge levels, the extra podcast, and there'll be some video content that'll happen later over the next couple of months once I start editing all the video from the Titan.
Yes.
So thank you very much to those supporters on Patreon. I also have to give a quick shout out to Joshua Moyer, who is about to open a new store. Josh and his group of gamers have been following us from Nevada in America, which is very exciting. I've had a chance to chat to him now. The store's called Five Titans.
We've had a chance to chat to him.
Oh, I chatted to him again today because he was looking for some help with cleaning a big resin tile that someone was mocking me for putting in the shower.
I didn't mock you for putting it in the shower. I just said don't tell people that you took it in the shower with you. It's not a nice mental picture. And I also said that's all you've done on it. And guess what? It needs doing again now because you've left.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't need doing again. You take the release agent off. That's all you're doing.
Yeah, well, trust me, you need to take the dust off it too.
Anyway, so I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Joshua and his wife and business partner for Five Titans. I think he said it was going to open in March. So once he's got a date, web store and all the rest of it, we'll share that with you guys as well. So it's always good to have hobbyists out there. He's in a smaller town in Nevada and ex-Marine and has taken the plunge into owning his own hobby store. So we wish him all the best, and no doubt we'll get updates from him as the store gets closer to opening. So thank you very much for getting sharing.
Yeah, speaking of hobby stores, I got to go into Beyond Games and Hobbies for the first time day after Boxing Day.
Yeah, Matt was in the store that day.
Their stock level had been decimated on Christmas Eve.
Yep.
So yeah, but it's really cool. And they've made some changes since you were last there.
Yeah, they've opened up the gaming space a little bit more and shuffled the way the entrance sits with the checkout area is. And Matt was saying that they had to bring in a bunch more gaming stuff because they just, particularly the role-playing and D&D and RPG stuff, where they just haven't been able to keep up.
Awesome.
Which is good news. So if you're down Bunbury Way here in Western Australia, check out Beyond Games and Hobby. Their Facebook page and website are all up and running. So they're really easy to find just behind Bunnings in Bunbury. Very, very easy to find in the middle of the town.
Yeah.
What else has been going on?
You played at the Crags event a couple of days ago.
I did, yeah. We had a great weekend playing games with my, they're now Craftwood Eldar as opposed to Corsairs. Four really good opponents, really fun games. So,
and I think in the last episode that we did of this, we talked about what you can do if you're in a bit of a hobby slump. And one of the things is to actually just kind of just push through and do it. And, you know, before we'd gone away, you'd been looking forward to playing in this event, but you thought that it was going to happen while we were away, and you'd kind of gone, well, you weren't going to get to play in it. You'd, you know, seen it as a done deal type thing. And then when it came to it, because of that, I think you were sort of not necessarily feeling it, but actually you pushed through that, and you said you had a really great day.
Yeah, it was a weird one because, like you say, it was one I was meant to miss and then ended up not missing.
Mm.
So,
I think because of the time of year it was as well, and you know.
Well, it was also one, we were talking about it on the live a week ago, mm. where I had one model I had to paint, and then you convinced me not to do that because I'm still working on the Titan. Mm. And part of it's to do with not having a proper 8th edition army at the moment, so...
yeah, not having a tournament-ready
yeah.
army.
But no, it was a really good weekend. Craig's always do a good show, so it was great to see there were 12 for 40K and 12 for Age of Sigmar, so yeah. Had a fun day out with everyone. Thank you to Gavin and Tristan and Dion and Nikki and everyone else who's involved with William. I'm sure there's other people I've forgotten in that list.
Sure there are.
I should really stop doing that.
Yes, you should.
What else? We've got the other one we should mention is the Toy Soldier Cartel are hosting mm-hmm. their...
Doubles event
on the 12th of January.
Now, that's a bit of an unusual format, isn't it? Because you don't play with the same partner for the games.
You play with the same partner for the whole day, but you don't know who you've got as a partner until the start of the day. So
I'm not sure how it would work if you changed every
I've already had that going. I don't get how that would work. Mm. And then you could kind of sabotage your opponent by deliberately losing. And anyway.
Be interesting.
I think you need a very good group of friends with the right mentality to play that sort of event with the backstabbing and the that sort of stuff. They're running, it's 20 players and Courtney has put a lot of time and effort. He ran it at his house last year, but it's kind of outgrown it.
Oh.
So he's now, I believe through some sort of work connection, he's got a venue organised and we're going to lend him some terrain and stuff because they look after us in regards to helping us move terrain around and everything. So the least we can do is share some of that love and give them some of our best terrain and boards to play on for the day.
Having said that, I'm surprised they need it. I'm more than happy to loan it to them, but 20 players, isn't that only...
It's only five boards.
Five boards, and don't they have five boards with the terrain?
It's more to do with the tables that Courtney has are sort of the big fixed mount.
Oh, okay.
They're not just trestle tables. They're like big chunks of wood. So we're going to... drop some tabletops. We're going to organise the tabletops one way or another. And some of the terrain as well because they've only got the four. And one of the four he's got is a little bit light, so we'll probably give him a couple. Mm. And some mats, and yeah, they'll have a good day. Unfortunately, with you working that afternoon, I can't play. But I'm going to head down in the morning, have a quick check it out, maybe have some lunch, and then come back before you have to head out for your camera shoot.
It's not a camera shoot.
It's a wedding, sorry.
I'm a celebrant for a wedding that day, so... And that's a gamer, so I think that person probably thinks it's quite important that you don't play in the event so I can go and officiate their marriage.
Yeah, I suppose. Hmm. And then we blink and we also hit Beyond Games and Hobbies Thunderstruck Age of Sigmar event. I want to say it's the tail end of January, but I should really have checked before now.
You should have.
I know I've gone blank with when that is. I'm almost certain it's the end of January.
So that's Age of Sigmar?
Yes, Age of Sigmar. They ran it in 2018 as well, but it was they did 40K first. In this case, I think they know that we're running First Blood around then as well.
Yeah.
So they've made sure that they're not clashing so that everyone gets a dose of gaming, whether it's fantasy or science fiction.
It looks like that's going to be... Oh, no, they've got a Kill Team event on the 12th of January as well.
Oh, that's the Saturday.
So... Yeah.
Yep.
And Thunderstruck is happening on the 16th of Feb.
Yeah, so the following weekend.
No, the 16th of Feb.
Oh, Feb. Sorry, I thought you said...
The following month.
Oh, okay. I knew there was an Age of Sigmar one coming.
Yeah.
So we're already starting to see the calendar load up a little bit. We've got First Blood and WATC happening in the first half of the year before we hit show in June.
Mm-hmm.
And then from show we get doubles... Linebreaker for the Albany trip at some point gets squeezed in before we then jump straight back into Masters at the end of the year. They're the main events we'll be hosting throughout the year. There'll probably be some other ones snuck in for some of the other game systems like Bolt Action or War Machine or X-Wing or whatever they happen to be. But we'll do those in conjunction with the relative communities to make sure that everyone's getting events spread out across the year. We're already working with some of the War Machine guys to make sure that all the events are evenly spread across the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exciting to see them getting back involved in rankings and so on, because we're going to be using Down Under pairings for tracking the rankings and things, which is awesome. So, look, I think we might take a quick break before we...
get into my pages of notes talking about New Year's resolutions.
There are notes as well, people.
That's because one of us is prepared.
And yet, I'm the one who's always here doing it.
What, pushing a button?
All the editing.
Yeah.
Trying to take out all your swearing like a sailor. And
that is so not true.
What she doesn't realize when I edit is I keep most of the stuff I cut out and save it as a separate file so that we can do a blooper reel or something in the future. So she's now looking at me going, what have I said?
Nope, I know. I do not swear on this.
No, we do keep it PG. Mm. So anyway, we'll be back in just a second.
It's not that I don't swear, just not on this.
We'll be back to talk New Year's resolutions and breaking some of those bad habits. So New Year's resolutions, they're kind of like goal setting, kind of.
I'm actually not focusing today on goal setting. I'm focusing more about New Year's resolutions. And the way that I look at them, that they're different, is often New Year's resolutions are kind of more about change making, whereas a goal is about achieving something. And so
my bad habits thing does fit in, because that's making changes.
It does fit in, yes. yeah, definitely. And so I do still want to cover goal setting, because obviously I think that it's really important. But goal setting is normally, you know, by this particular date, this is what I hope to achieve. This is how I'm going to do it. And, you know, creating actions. And I think that's really important. But it's on the 1st of January for a brand new year. I just think that perhaps New Year's resolutions are something that's quite often pertinent and at the forefront of people's minds.
Fair enough.
Hmm.
So
plus also you hate goal setting. And when I suggested that we do the goal setting podcast like we talked about in the last episode, you groaned, rolled your eyes and practically cried and said, do we have to? I don't want to.
Well, we'd just done we've literally just done a goal setting one for episode 2 for the patrons edition of the podcast.
Yes, but this would have been different. Honestly, I could do 100 episodes just on goal setting. Well, I promise not to.
So if you want to add more content, I'll leave it set up for you. Yeah. You just press the big red button.
No, that's fine. Okay, so I've got 4 points to talk about today. And because I've got 4 points, you're going to keep an eye on it and make sure I don't talk for more than 10 minutes on each point.
Yeah, let's try that.
Okay. So point number one.
When am I starting the count from?
I'll tell you in a minute. Point number one, start small. Point number two, change one behavior at a time. Point number three, talk about it. And point number four, don't beat yourself up. So they're the cliff notes. You can pretty much take those 4 points and stop listening now if you want to.
And with that, we'll be back in just a second to wrap up the episode. Make my editing really easy.
Okay, so point number one is start small. So that's about making resolutions that you think that you can keep.
Right.
Okay, so for example, a lot of on the, when we asked this question in the patrons group on Facebook and in the Obset Gamers group, a lot of it was around painting. So I'm going to be using painting to chat about it today.
Yeah.
A lot of them were around getting the models painted and that kind of thing. So, you know, if you're looking at making a New Year's resolution, I'm going to paint for 3 hours a day, 7 days a week, and, you know, I'm going to get this done. It's not achievable. It's not realistic. If you set yourself a goal that you're going to paint for 3 hours a day, every single day, you're going to fail.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's part of my first thing is don't set yourself up for failure. Whereas if you were to perhaps say, I'm going to paint for 15 minutes, 3 times a week, that's a good, realistic goal. A better goal, you're going to use the word goal, so just ignore that and pretend I'm using a different term. But a better resolution is I'm going to paint for 15 minutes on Wednesday, Saturday and Sunday. Now that's the same as saying I'm going to do it for 3 days a week. But by saying I'm going to do it on Wednesday, Saturday and Sunday, what it means is that on Wednesday, you know, this is the day that I'm supposed to be painting for 15 minutes. Whereas if you say 3 days a week, it's really easy to go, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. And all of a sudden the week's gone. Whereas if you go, okay, well, I'm going to do it on Wednesday. Well, something comes up on Wednesday. So, you know, you can't do it on Wednesday. Well, then you can swap it out and you can do it on Tuesday. You can do it on Thursday or, you know, you can do it. And 15 minutes, we can all find 15 minutes. Yeah, whereas if you think, oh God, I've got to sit down and I've got to paint for 3 hours tonight, it's too much of a drain. So that can sometimes be really overwhelming. Whereas 15 minutes is easy and it's achievable. and set a timer for 15 minutes. If at the end of 15 minutes you want to keep going, keep going. You don't have to stop. But it's about going, well, I can do 15 minutes and I'm not creating this massive hurdle that I'm just going to find way too overwhelming in 3 weeks' time.
And get up 15 minutes earlier in the morning, get yourself ready for work or school or whatever you've got on for the day, 15 minutes early. And then you can sneak it in there if you really... I used to paint in the mornings.
Yeah, I'll probably... For me, I wouldn't do it in the morning because then I've only got 15 minutes. Whereas if I did it at nighttime, then I've got no other... I don't have to leave the house to go out to work.
Yeah, that's true.
So but I don't have to leave to go to a commitment. But yeah, 15 minutes, you know, take the paints to work and paint for 15 minutes in your lunch break.
Yeah, I've done
but
that.
But probably go back to work at, you know, when you're supposed to and don't get fired over it, so... But yeah, you used to take your paints to
work.
Yeah,
I'd take a painter brush and then I painted my Revenant Titan. Basically, everything that was small enough to take to work and do in a half-hour lunch break. I had 45 minutes, which was enough time to grab some food, eat, and then sit at the table for half an hour. And not everything went to work, but all like the little shoulder panels where I was doing the freehand work on them. Take one colour, a paintbrush, and the part. It doesn't take a whole lot of room. And then you go down, do your painting, pack it up, and I got a few weird stares and a few angry messages to HR about me polluting the lunchroom, and then once that was all shut down, it was fine.
Yeah,
so
it did help that HR.
Yeah, the HR
was
into 40k. Yeah,
yeah, but keeping you keeping those resolutions simple and creating bite-sized portions makes your New Year's resolutions achievable. So, like you were saying, you go, well, "What can I achieve in my 30-minute lunch break today?" You know, people have been talking about the different resolutions where, you know, they want to have painted more models than they buy, or they want to make sure what's coming in, like the new stuff they're coming in, is outweighed by the amount of stuff that's getting painted.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, ploughing through their
Well, there's a comment here from one of George, who's helped us out twice now with show and is an awesome hobbyist. Paint one model that has been in box, storage or new in box for at least 6 months for every two newer models that I paint. So essentially, if it's been in the house for 6 months, it goes in a pile. Yeah. And then if he brings new models in, he paints two of the new ones and one of the old. Two of the new, one of the old.
Yeah. And that's about exactly making those bite-sized goals, as opposed to going, well, I want to paint... If you think, I want to paint every single thing that I currently own, it's massive. It feels incredibly overwhelming. Whereas if you say, I want to paint that particular unit, it seems a lot more achievable. Or I want to paint one model that's more than 6 months old for every two models that are brand new. Having said that, those bite-sized pieces can also create a bit of a time frame trap. So, for example, if you set out those bite-sized pieces early, so in January I'll paint X, unit. In February I'll paint Y, that kind of thing. If in January you don't get X unit finished, well, then you're already behind. So you failed for the rest of the year. Whereas if you go, okay, I aim to paint 15 minutes a day, three times a week on Wednesday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, and the first unit I'm going to work on is this. When you finished it, you can then go, okay, well, now I'm going to work on this. And setting those goals as you go, as opposed to having your entire year mapped out in front of you and then just, you fall behind with one area and you're kind of stuffed from there.
Look, it's a really common one where it's paint what I have before buying more, or paint more minis than I buy, or... paint what's in storage compared to what I buy. All of those you hear pretty much every year from every hobbyist. And I think, I definitely have painted more than, I've significantly chunked into that gap of unpainted miniatures.
It doesn't count when you buy a Titan.
What do you mean?
You can't say, oh, well, I painted more than I bought new stuff because I painted four Eldar jet bikes and I only bought one Warlord Titan.
I wasn't actually going there with that at all. I was kind of saying that, I think it depends on where you are in your hobby in regards to...
That is setting yourself up for success, I will say.
Success at buying a Warlord.
Yeah.
No, but my Warlord is... you know, he or she is mostly assembled now, and I'd like to have had it done by today, but a combination of things has meant that hasn't happened. I want it done to completion by end of June. By the time it hits show, it needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I've put aside the other projects I had planned for the start of the year, and that's my goal.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a nice date for it. I'm well on track for that at the moment. So, yeah, it's very common, though, that you see I'm going to paint more than I buy or get stuck into that backlog. And some people can manage it and have the self-restraint to do that. And to them, I say, you're not a proper hobbyist. If you're walking into a store to buy any sort of hobby material, if you're going in to buy a pot of paint, you need to come out with at least like a box of minis or something.
No, you don't. And the last point for this particular point is be realistic. And with that, think about past resolutions that you've made. So what resolutions have you made that you've done really well with and that you've been really successful with? What led to that success? What did you do that helped you achieve what you wanted to achieve with that resolution? Or what did you do that helped you stick to it for as long as you wanted to stick to it? But the flip side of it is, what did you think about the resolutions that you didn't follow through with? And what led to you not following through? What contributed towards that failure?
And shiny new models being released.
Yes, exactly. So there's lots of different things. And sometimes it's just that it's too big. Sometimes it's that, you know, I just lost the mojo. There's lots of different things that contribute to it. You know, a new baby was born and all of a sudden painting this particular thing seemed less important than, you know, whatever. But have a think about what's made you successful in the past and draw on that. Have a think about what has made you not successful in the past and don't do that.
Fair enough. Well, I'm going to tell you that was just shy of 10 minutes, so we're going to move on now.
Sweet. change one behavior at a time. And do you know what? I've hardly got anything to cover on the rest of it. That was my biggest point, was number one.
Oh, well, change one behavior at a time comes back to some of the habits and stuff we've been talking about online.
Mm-hmm.
So one of our patrons, Aaron, has said he's got to stop the bad habit and remember to close the lids of his paints and washes after he uses them. So changing that little behavior is going to save him time.
It's going to save...
And money.
Money, yeah.
Time, because he's not going to have to drive everywhere to go and get new paints.
And so when Mike has to go and get new paints, it's at least a 3-hour round trip. At least.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that. It's
probably... It can be 4 or 5.
If
I'm at work, it's 4 or 5.
It depends on whether I'm picking kids up from school and what else is going on. But for the nearest hobby store for us is a good 45-minute drive, 40, 45 minutes, depending on time of day. And it can be an hour, depending on whether we're going to Fremantle or not. But so an hour there, an hour back.
No, 45 minutes there, 45 minutes back, and 2 hours chatting.
It's not 2 hours chatting.
Everyone who knows you knows it's at least 2 hours chatting.
That's not true at all.
So, yes, it would be saving him a lot of time and money to put the lids back on.
And like I said at the start of it, one of the bad habits I want to kick this year is to stop
sucking dirty paintbrushes.
So cleaning it out and washing it out and giving it back a tip. I remember reading an article on Facebook somewhere about it, how it's not necessarily bad as long as the paintbrush is clean. But at some point in time, I accidentally started doing it with paint on the brush, which is just tastes horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to try and stop doing that.
Yeah. And...
And cleaning your brush in the cup that you're drinking from.
Yeah.
Although if you use stuff...
We've all done that.
But if you use stuff like Coca-Cola or coffee or something quite strong, you probably don't taste it. It probably cleans the brush better than just pure water.
Mm.
No?
I don't recommend it. So I'm going to come back to what you were talking about with Aaron's in a moment.
Mm.
But I sort of think when you're looking at changing one behavior at a time... It's really important that you don't get overwhelmed and think that you have to change everything all at once. So starting with something small like closing the lids is awesome. It's achievable. Get a win.
Yeah, that's true. There's another one here from Michael Riley. Cleaning the airbrush after I'm done painting.
See, that's so funny because that's totally me. I'd be like, well, I'm done with it. I've done all the fun bit now. But you are so obsessive about cleaning up that airbrush after you finish with it.
Yeah, it's because I've done it once where I haven't cleaned it up and it's a pain in the butt to get clean afterwards.
Mm.
So that's more of a sanity saver and a convenience saver for next time than anything else. I don't like doing it, but it has to be done. Otherwise, it's just not worth... I might as well buy another airbrush, which, you know, I could do with a new airbrush. I'm just saying.
Don't even think about it. So when you're making sure that you don't have to change everything all at once and you're just picking something, choose carefully. If this is what you're going to be focusing on for the first however long, make sure that you're picking from what you think is most important. So what are you going to get the most reward from? So for things like, you know, Aaron making sure he puts the paint lid back on, it's relatively easy and relatively achievable, I hope. but it may not be something that he's going to get the most reward from.
No, but if he turned around and went, okay, I'm losing one
pot. No, don't get to that because that's my point number four.
What?
The reward.
Well, it kind of ties into this point, doesn't it?
Yeah, okay.
So if he goes, yeah, you know what? I'm going to get a win out of this and I'm going to see some results from it. And instead of going and buying a new $6 paint every week or every third day or however often he's having to buy paint to replace the stuff that's dried out and gone disgusting, get a little jar beside the table and drop a couple of $2 coins in it at the end of every painting session to reflect the paint that you've just not thrown out. And I reckon that tin would be fast pretty quick. Like, it'd be full.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be a great way of doing it.
Mm.
So, I mean, paints are $5 or $6 depending on what you're buying. Some of them is even more expensive. Show yourself the reward.
And that's it. Cans of spray paint. You know, if you don't clean them properly at the end, and then it can be $20.
Keep going.
Yeah. I'll just fool myself. And
yeah. Don't look at the price of the gold spray from Games Workshop.
I really don't. yeah, so basically that's have a look. Think about the different things that you'd like to achieve and what is going to be the most important to you. What are you going to find most exciting? What's going? Because if you're not finding it most exciting, you're really not likely to stick to it.
Yeah. So. I think it'd be quite exciting to see a jar filling up with money so that I knew I could go and buy toys.
See, look, I covered that in way less than 10 minutes, didn't I?
You did.
Point number three, talk about it. This is something that I spoke about on the last podcast as well, when I talked about, creating that mastermind group and that group of friends to be able to share these things with. But it's really important to share experiences with family and friends and, you know, getting accountability buddies and the mastermind groups, people who share similar goals. And they're people that then you can share your successes and your struggles with.
Yeah, okay. That makes a lot of sense. Because between the patrons group and a couple of very close friends who are going to be playing the game with me with the Titan for its inauguration, I'm sending them photos and I've got people asking questions and why are you doing it that way? What about this? Have you thought of this? Which is obviously means that I've got people now I want to share more with because they've seen the start of it. So now they're going to get to see more of it.
Yeah. And that's my next point is keep a record. So, you know, whether that's a record as far as, well, I said I was going to paint on Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday. So I've created a little log so I can tick off that I painted Wednesday, Saturday and Sunday. Or whether that's taking before and after photos. And at the end of every month, you know, taking a photo of what you've painted and what's not painted anymore and seeing how the shift goes from everything being on sprue and bare plastic to now everything's off sprue and 10% of it's painted and then 15% of it's painted and 20%. And by the end of the year, you've got this massive pile and, okay, actually, so the bare plastic pile has grown as well, but the painted pile has grown significantly. And sharing those photos with other people that's meaningful to. Because, you know, as exciting as it is when you come and show me that you've added another bolt or something to the Titan, it's not something that resonates with me.
No.
But when you share it with the Titan Builder group that you're part of and the OBSEC patrons and that, it excites them because it does resonate with them. So, you know, you build off each other and you bounce off each other and that's how you make these successes happen.
Or you get those people who then go back to your wife and ask your wife to get you to slow down because they don't want to see it on the table across from them.
Yeah, that works too.
No, it doesn't.
Are you
sure? I'm going to do it just to spite him now.
But I think it's really important that it goes both ways. So if you're in a, I'm going to call it a mastermind group for, because that's the terminology that I use. But if you're in a group with people who you're all about painting regularly and you want to create this resolution for painting X number of times a week, it's a great way to receive support. And if you're failing and falling off the wagon, getting people to kind of rally behind you and go, you know, you just have to get the paintbrush out and, you know, what's one thing that you can do that's going to, you know, achieve something today? It doesn't have to be, you don't have to paint in the Sistine Chapel, but stick some eyes on a space marine. You know,
stick some eyes.
Yeah. Dot some eyes in there. I don't mean googly eyes. I mean get a paintbrush and paint some eyes in. Although I would quite like to see googly eyes if anybody wants to do that for an event.
I'm sure I'll see if there's someone on Google for this. And if there is, it'll make sure it's in the show notes for a googly-eyed space marine. That's going to be an interesting Google search.
That would be awesome. Anyway, but the flip side to that is if you've got a friend that's failing or that's falling off the wagon, don't let them off the hook. Don't make excuses for them. And it's really easy to do because I'm being a supportive friend. Rubbish. A supportive friend will tell you to pull your finger out and get it done.
So it's tough love is what you're saying.
I think it's supporting people to make the change that they want to make rather than enabling people to fall off the wagon. Doesn't that sound a lot nicer than tough love?
It's the same thing.
Yes, but mine sounds better. And that's important.
I was going to say, that's the most important thing.
It is. And, you know, there's a difference between, you know what, I'm just not feeling it this week. Sure. But I'm just not feeling it this week or last week or the week before or the week before that. Well, honey, when are you going to start feeling it? Like, is this important to you? Do you want to be reaching this? Is this a resolution that you still resonate with? Because if it is, whether you're feeling it or not, pick up the paintbrush.
Yeah, look, I think there's it's very easy to find excuses, though, to dodge.
It
is. If it's not, like you say, not regulated and planned and you're being held accountable by someone else. Because you hear it a lot where, I haven't got time to paint. I'm too busy. Why? Oh, because I go to work.
Mm.
And? Oh, and I've got kids. And? Yeah. Like getting half an hour in your day or an hour a day, if you really, really wanted to, is actually achievable for most, you know, even guys who are FIFO. I know a few guys who take stuff up on site with them and work.
No, everyone gets a lunch break.
Well, when they're up there for 2 weeks at a time, 12 hours on, 12 hours off, they can only sleep for so long and you can get your lunch breaks.
I could sleep for 12 hours. If I didn't have kids waking me up, oh my goodness, that'd be amazing.
My point is that, you know, finding a little bit of time each day isn't necessarily difficult. It's about your prioritization.
Yeah. And you spend how long playing with that stupid game on your iPad that annoys the living daylights out of me. So you could quite easily forego that in order to...
And I do.
I'm not getting into an argument about it. I'm just suggesting that it's something that you could... Like a person, not necessarily you, although if you wanted to think about it, it wouldn't upset me, could give up in order to...
Spend more time building a Titan?
That's what your resolution is. Yeah.
Well, at the moment, I'm out of glue, so that's just to wait until tomorrow.
There's still some Loctite in there.
No, that's not the Loctite I want.
All right. Okay. Bunnings is open until what time?
6.
Only 6?
Yeah. No. I checked.
Okay. Anyway, but no, it is about going, well, what's important to you and where are your priorities? So are your priorities playing this stupid game on your iPad that annoys the living daylights out of me, or are your priorities getting the Titan built because you want it on the table for your apocalypse game?
Exactly.
So having someone who's prepared to go to you know what? You told me that you want to get this Titan done and you want it on the table for an apocalypse game. Why are you saying you're going to take time out in order to build this other model to add to this unit to play in this event when you've got models that are ready and painted and you can play with them? You need someone who's prepared to go, you know what, where should you be focusing your time at the moment? And so creating a group with people who are prepared to do that in the most loving, gentle, kind and great way possible.
I'm sure you can hear that tone in her voice as she says those things right now.
I really do. But it's important. And it's important that you're prepared to do that for other people, but you're also prepared to hear it when somebody does hold you accountable.
Yeah, I mean, Evrain, the Anari character, which in retrospect wouldn't have helped the army that I was planning, but it's a model I've had for a little while. It's assembled, it's undercoated. I reckon it would have been, I don't know, 4 to 6 hours of work to paint it to a standard I would have been happy with, 2 hours if I wasn't that fussed, and an hour if I was just base colouring it. And, you know, that would have been easy to find in the week between when that conversation took place with another gamer who went, why don't you do that? And the actual event, even with Christmas in between, that would have still been achievable.
But it would have meant taking an hour away from the Titan.
Yeah, which has...
Because you'd already used all of your spare time on the Titan. There was no more time that you could give up away from family and...
Not over Christmas and everything,
No.
Yeah.
And I just realised I was supposed to come back to some of the points that we had up on the Facebook group, but I might come back to those after I finish my fourth and final point, which is don't beat yourself up. So perfection is not achievable. Apart from, I mean, I know I'm pretty close, but...
Yeah, okay.
Let's go with it. Go with it. But we all have missteps. You know, we all have times when we're making change where, you know, you miss a week painting for whatever reason. You know, if you come down with the flu and you can't paint, or you go on a family holiday to the UK and you can't paint for 3 weeks, it doesn't mean that all's lost. So just because you miss a day of painting, or just because you miss a week or 3 weeks because you've been on holiday, you don't have to give up. So, you know, for when people set New Year's resolutions to lose weight, if you have a day where you blow it and you go out and eat pizza for lunch, you don't go, oh, well, I've stuffed my diet now, I may as well eat absolutely anything I can get my hands on. Just start again. So it's the same with any resolution that you make for gaming and a hobby. If you fall off, acknowledge it, start again. It's okay to start again.
Yeah, that's true. Particularly if you can look at it and learn from it and understand what happened. Where, like you say, if it's a holiday, then, you know, there's not much you can do about that. That's the way it is. If you had to work late, or you had after school activities with the kids or something, you know, you're going to...
Well, see, no. After school activities with the kids, you can, you know, if you know about them in advance, it's very rare that you go, oh, all of a sudden I've got a t-ball game on a...
No, I mean like awards nights and that sort of stuff where...
Yeah, but you know about them in advance. So you can go, okay, well, I can't do that on Wednesday. I can do it on Tuesday. So just because something else comes up, you don't go, oh, well, I'm not going to do it. But if you happen to not do it, then you don't have to give up. Can you hear the difference?
Yeah, okay. Of course. I'm just trying to articulate it differently.
Okay. Well, you're not doing it very well. Try again.
Yeah, that's nothing like being held accountable, is there?
Yeah. And that's why I think flu is a better idea, you know, better example. If you happen to get sick and you miss a week because you can't drag yourself out of bed, well, just pick the paintbrush up next week.
Hey, look, painting, when you're sick, painting is actually a really good thing. Because you can stay rugged.
Really?
Look, as long as you're not hacking a lung up.
No.
It's, you can keep the room warm and comfortable, and you can have music or podcasts or TV or video or something going. You can paint. There's generally no one else at home because no one wants to be near you when you're hacking up a lung.
No, if I'm sick, I just want to lie in bed and hope that nobody even talks to me, let alone that I have to concentrate on something like painting.
No commitment.
I know. And yeah, so we spoke before about rewards as well. So that's something that's, you know, really important, that you actually acknowledge the wins and reward yourself for it. But there are traps. For example, oh, I've painted this unit of jet bikes. I'm going to go out and buy 3 new units of whatever. You know, that's not a great way to make sure that the amount of models that you've got in your stash of unpainted models is staying less than new ones that are coming through. So make sure you don't sabotage it by going out and buying something or doing something that's going to, you know, counteract what you're trying to do. But yeah, rewarding yourself is really important.
So what you're saying is when the Titan's all assembled, I can reward myself with a new airbrush.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that it's very important that you do discuss what your rewards are going to be with any significant other in your life, and you buying a new airbrush is not going to happen. So,
yet. Look, it took 3 years of wearing you down through Objective Secured with the help of people on live streams and Wayne and Brody and everyone else. And there's a warlord sat 3 feet to your left in pieces. If I start now with this new airbrush thing, we've got a whole new thing we can harp on you for. It's great.
I am already not talking to Anthony over this whole new airbrush thing. I'm fine with you painting it with spray cans, okay? And my last point. You were the one who said you were going to paint it with spray cans.
Yeah, but he's convinced me not to now.
See, this is why I'm not talking to him. The last point is put yourself in control. So you are the only person that can make this happen. So people talk about internal and external locus of control, which is about whether you have control over the fact that you're painting, or whether or not circumstances stop you doing it, or circumstances enable you to do it. But at some point you have to say, this is on me. If I want to do this, then I can't say I can't do it because I'm too busy, because I work 5 days a week and I've got 3 kids. It's about saying, well, okay, those are my circumstances. How can I make this happen? What have I got control over? And so that I can make sure that this resolution actually happens.
And that's much the same with any part of your life, to be honest.
100%.
So this is just focusing it down to one aspect of your life, essentially.
Yes, because that's all we're talking about today. But if we want life coaching lessons in the next episode, we can make that happen.
Look, I'm sure that you can do that one. I know Mike Wayne wanted to do psychology and gamers, so I can have him around and you two can chat, and I will go and find something to drink and build a Titan.
Right. So anyway, back to the points that were on the...
So a lot of these were, we posted up asking for, you know, good or bad hobby habits. Now, I've got to give a shout out to Dave from Orange Cat Painting and Hobby. You can find him on Facebook. He posted up something today about putting a Chucks cloth in the pot that sits on top of the airbrush, like the gravity-fed airbrushes. To basically filter the paint as it goes down into the airbrush to stop it clogging.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you have to thin the paint and so on as well, but...
As you normally would.
Well, no, even more so, because you've also got a Chucks cloth in the way. But that got me thinking, like, that's a great habit to get into, because if it makes the paint flow better, it makes your airbrush easier, you're not cleaning it as often, you're going to get more time painting and less time faffing about with the cleaner. That seems like a really good thing to get into the habit of doing. So we were talking about, you know, good and bad habits. And like I've said earlier, one of the worst ones I have is licking the paintbrushes before washing them. And more than a couple of people have come out in sympathy saying, yep, they do the same.
So it comes down to what actions can you put in place in order to break those habits?
Yeah.
No, I'm asking you, what can you put in place to stop you sucking a dirty paintbrush?
I don't know. It already tastes foul.
Yeah, it does.
The problem is that most of the time you'll then just go, oh, I'll just drink whatever I've got sat at the table. And
hopefully that's not dirty paint water.
Look, any hobbyist is always, I guarantee every single one of them has drunk from the paint, the water pot.
Mm-hmm. And
wash their brush out in the coffee mug.
Yeah.
Because it's a really bad habit that we all have of using just normal coffee mugs as as paint water pots. So changing those sorts of things can help you with that, whether you've got a plastic cup.
It doesn't work for me. No, because I don't use a coffee mug when I'm painting whatever. And so I still go to pick up the dirty paint water, because by the time I look at it, it looks like tea. So I got to pick it up thinking it is my cup of tea.
Well, when I was recording World's End Radio many years ago now, we mocked Games Workshop when they released their little water paint pot things. Yeah. And they've since re-released a new version of that water paint pot. And the more I think about it, for people who are in this sort of habit, it actually seems like a really sensible 10 to, I don't know how much they are, 10, 12, 15, 20, who knows with Games Workshop, investment. Because there's no way you can mix it up with something else. It's a unique shape. It's all, like, there's no handle on it for picking it up like a coffee cup. I could easily see that being, hang on, I've picked that up and I can feel, like, it's got the citadel, like the wings and stuff engraved in the outside of it. So you've got different textures there and stuff. Like, that could be a really good way of not drinking from it.
Yeah, what I use is something completely different to a coffee cup, and still chatting to you. I've got kids that I'm talking to. I'm thinking about the food that I've got cooking. I'm focusing on what I'm painting on, and I just put my hand out and pick up what's in front of me. You know, and you said before, actually it was on the other podcast that we were recording, but you were saying that often when you're painting, you're listening to a podcast or you're watching a movie and you're focusing on that. So, and you're focusing on the painting that you're doing. So I just think, yeah, I don't know how you can stop yourself picking that up. Like, you're just distracted.
I
should have been more present.
I think part of it's also, as stupid as it sounds, when you're working with really thin paints and stuff, particularly in the heat, what I actually need to do is break out the wet palette again. Because I finally managed to break the habit. I was mixing paints on the skin of my hand that held the model. And that makes no sense until you think about the moisture that's contained within your skin. So you've almost got this living wet palette.
Well, only if you're sweaty and gross.
No. Like, you're in the temperature.
Sorry, just in my head, I sang that to the tune of Like a Virgin. Instead of All Shiny and New, I sang it as All Sweaty and Gross. So just in case anybody else wants that stuck in their head, go for it.
I was hoping she'd sing it so I could air that to our listeners. But
no, will not subject anyone to my singing.
No, but like mixing it on your hand with a little bit of water, it's because it absorbs the moisture from your skin. You actually used to get the paint to stay like fluid for longer.
Mm.
And I finally stopped that because it was actually doing some real harm to my skin because it was drying out my skin and it was all going horrible. The same could potentially apply for cleaning the paintbrush. If you've got a wet palette, part of the reason I think it either goes in your mouth inadvertently where you think you've washed it and you haven't. But I know from experience, there's been a couple of times where I've gone, oh, the paintbrush, I don't want to mix this. It's wet. It's fine. And if you've got a wet palette, the paint stays wet for longer. It's easier to work with. And you can put it in the fridge and keep it if you've got mixes and things.
Yeah, but is that going to stop you putting a dirty paintbrush in your mouth?
Look, I would hope...
Isn't it about the tip?
I would hope so, because part of the reason that the tips separate is because the paint dries on the bristles. It gets down further into the bristles and separates.
A wet palette will actually help that.
Well, it'll keep the paint... You'll obviously be able to use the paint for longer because it'll have more moisture in it.
Only on the palette, not on the actual brush.
No, but when you put it on the brush, it'll be more liquid than it is solid.
Why take the paint straight from the pot?
You shouldn't do that.
Why not?
Oh my God, you've just committed blasphemy.
Why?
Two thin coats.
Still put it on thin.
You have to add... Oh.
Well, I'm sorry, nobody taught me to add water to it.
You're going to get so much crap for that.
Who taught me to paint?
I didn't.
Oh my God.
I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Did not.
You did, and you never taught me to add water to it.
Should be.
Well, then you probably should have mentioned that, shouldn't you? About 3 years ago.
Anyway... Most of the other ones that we've got from our followers were painting more than I buy. One of the other ones we got was proxying before I buy.
I like that one, actually.
And it's something that I've been doing for a long time, and it never occurred to me to not do it, I suppose. Particularly when you're playing with friends and playing casually, there's no reason not to. Because it saves you money, essentially. Buying stuff and then not using it.
That's
or
it.
Buying stuff and then going...
Finding out it doesn't work the way that you thought it was going to.
Yeah. And, you know, returning products is still pretty easy these days as long as you've got the receipt handy. But
not if you've built it and painted it.
Well, exactly. That was literally what I was about to say, is that...
Oh, isn't it nice when we're in tune?
So, the other one that came through from Vince was paint something for fun. Mm. And that comes back to the last episode, episode 31, about breaking your funk.
Yep.
If you pick something that's completely outside of what you would normally paint for an army or for a deadline and just go, you know what, I want to paint that because it's cool.
Obviously, only if painting's your thing.
Yeah, but, you know, that can be a great way for those artists who have blocks to just go, yep, I'm going to paint something for me. I'm going to paint it because it's fun, because I like it. It's one of the reasons that the few commissions I do every year I do is because they're projects that I've gone, I'd love to paint that. But
I have no need for it in an army
exactly.
for me, so I don't want to buy it and have it sitting on a shelf.
Yeah.
I'm happy to paint it for someone else.
Yeah, and when they're paying for it and for my time and, you know, that gives you a little bit of artistic freedom, and as long as you're doing a good job, then You know, you get, I do, what do I do, 3 in 2018, 4 the year before, I only do a handful a year. So it's just enough to break the cycle of, you know, if you're constantly painting ultramarines every other week for your Space Marine Army, and then someone comes and asks you to paint a really cool whiskey golem from the Gremlins from Malifaux, it's something completely different, and can let you experiment with new techniques.
You paint golem, I'll drink the whiskey.
Look, if the whiskey... I've actually got a whiskey golem. I reckon I could seal up its back because it's got a big barrel for a back. If you could seal it up, I reckon you could make like a little baby hip flask, you know, like a miniature hip flask. You put it in the top of it.
How unlike you to go off on a tangent, darling.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Okay, do we have anything else that we can cover? So do we have anything that's actually tangible as suggestions for how people can stop sucking paintbrushes when they're dirty? Or
Everyone says they do it.
How people can remember to close the paint pot after you've, you know, opened it.
I reckon with the whole paint pot thing that Aaron says, I'd only work one color at a time. I'd reduce the amount. Like, so if I'm working, I know he's painting Dark Elder at the moment. I'd literally be going one pot, complete from pot, close pot, open next pot, and just literally changing, because from the sounds of it, he's probably opening a dozen different colors at a time and then mixing and going back and forth between the colors. If you changed your routine in painting, you might be able to, with that change in routine, reduce it to only having one or two pots open where you're mixing two colors, not 12, at which point, if you forget to close two, it's less of a issue than closing 10.
And I think something that you just said then is really important, and it becomes about routine.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, and routine is really important in anything. You know, back to what I was saying before about the idea of painting three times a week. It becomes part of your routine that on Wednesday night at 8:30, sit down, listen to Mike and Emma jabber on for however long and open the paints and do that while I'm listening to them. You know, it's just part of what happens on a Wednesday night. And it now, I should know this, but I think they say that it takes, is it 21 days to create a habit?
28.
Yeah. Anyway, 20 something days to create a habit. So, you know, doing that, you get into the routine and make, you know, then going through, okay, well, what is my habit? What is my routine for when I'm painting? And completely changing it. Because if you completely change your routine, you have to focus on it. Whereas what I was talking about before, when you reach out and you grab
the nearest drink,
dirty paint water as your cup of tea, it's because you're not focusing on it. You know, when you think about when we learned to drive, you had to really focus on where your clutch point was and where you're going to stall the car and how far did you have to depress the clutch in order to change gears and, you know, when should you start changing down gears because the traffic light's gone amber. Whereas now I can get home sometimes after work and think, I do not remember going through a single traffic light because it's all become second nature. You know, so if you change your routine as far as painting goes and your new routine becomes something about, you know, that includes closing the lids in a certain way and doing it the new way, you have to be mindful of it.
Yeah, it's a good point. I like that.
Yeah, there we go. There's a little nugget in there.
Well, I suppose, you know.
There's one in how long have I been talking now?
About 45 minutes, give or take.
There we go. 45 minutes, I'm done. I don't know what you're going to do to stop sucking dirty paint water.
No, I'll figure that one out. You know what they should do? They should just make the paint taste better.
No. but it does make me think, you know, like, I mean, like you said, it already tastes foul, but is there something that you can put on the paintbrush so that it's a, you know, if you were to put something on there, would it go into your field of vision so that you'd notice it and you wouldn't put it in your mouth?
Yeah, maybe.
You know, so is there something that you can do that way that becomes a reminder not to put it in your mouth?
I think part of it, like I, when I first got taught to paint when I was much, much younger, there were a lot of habits and the paintbrush in the mouth was...
Oh, did you get taught to add water to paint?
Yeah, I did.
Somebody didn't mention that to me.
Laurie, who taught me to paint, he started at Tactics when it was upstairs a very, very long time ago, opposite His Majesty's car park. And... you know, the paintbrush in the mouth was to give it a point and keep moisture in the bristles and all this sort of stuff. And you just, there were a lot of bad habits, now I think about it, that he taught the group of us who went every Saturday for the painting lessons. But I think I've broken just about all of them except that one. Mm. And that's 25 plus years of doing that. So that's going to be a tough one to break. Mm. So if you've got any bad habits, though, or good ones for that matter, and how you got those good habits and what you do to maintain those good habits, leave them in the comments either on
also
Facebook.
Share what your New Year's resolutions for hobby is going
to
be.
Yeah. So.
And everything that I spoke about, sorry, I know that we're supposed to be finishing and I'm just jabbering again, but everything I've spoken about and I've used painting as an example, obviously it is only an example. So, you know, the idea of having a resolution where you want to play more often, well, what can that look like? And how can you make that so that it is achievable rather than I'm going to play three games every week and, you know, is that realistic? So all of these same concepts actually you can use for any resolution in any area of your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, let us know what your hobby resolutions are and different ways that you can, you know, meet these four little key points that we've talked about tonight.
Yep, along with any good or bad habits and how you got them or how you broke them.
Yeah.
So with that all said, and with Emma's notebook now depleted of pages and notes.
Yes, I have ticked everything off and I think I have covered it all.
We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to wrap up the episode. Well, it was a pretty succinct episode, this one.
Yes, but I did just think of something else that I probably should have covered, and that's know yourself. So, for example, you know, I want to get back into doing daily yoga, and I do the same thing. If I just do 15 minutes a day, if I choose to do longer, then that's, you know, I can do that. But I also know that if I don't do that first thing in the morning, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So when you're putting this into your routine, put it into your daily routine, weekly routine, at a time that you know that you're not setting yourself up to fail. So for example, if I said, okay, I'm going to do that at 8:30 every night, it ain't never going to happen.
No.
So yeah, that's my last thing. Know yourself well enough to know what's going to work for you and what's not going to work for you and picking what is going to work. That's the final thing I've got to say about it at this point in time. But who knows what else I might add in the next 15 minutes.
We'll try and keep it down to three then, and that way we...
Perfect.
Yeah, so this is our first one for 2019.
Mm-hmm.
The routine will continue as usual. So every second week you'll get a new new public podcast from us.
Mm-hmm.
In case we haven't announced that, I don't know whether we did when it happened at the time, we're on Spotify as well. Mm-hmm. We finally got that all clear. We posted about it on the Facebook page, but I'm still not certain we actually announced it on the podcast that you listen to. So it'll probably be helpful to know that you can get it from iTunes and from Spotify.
I don't know if they're listening to it, then they've got it.
But some people prefer it over one source or another. I know it's shown up on a few other podcast apps or whatever you call them through the RSS feeds that we've got set up in the background. So... Mm-hmm. However you're listening to us, awesome. You can obviously also listen to us straight from the website because they're uploaded there as well. But that routine will continue throughout the year as best we can.
So we're fortnightly on the podcast and then the alternate fortnight is Facebook Live.
Yes. We might be mixing some of that up across the year to do some Google Hangouts through YouTube, at which point they'll be done on the... Wednesday nights instead of the Facebook Lives, and then they'll be uploaded to Facebook as a separate video after the fact.
Or there'll just be a link to Facebook, which I think would be easier.
So
that is our plan, is to try and get all of our lives over onto YouTube.
As well, yeah.
Yeah.
The main reason for that is so that we can have guests onto those live chats through Google Hangouts, which at the moment we can't do with Facebook Live.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got some new guests planned for 2019 for the podcast as well. So if you've got anyone you'd like to hear us chat to, whether it's an author, whatever game system, whatever component of the game system, whether it's a hobbyist, as in a painter or a sculptor or a rules writer, or, you know, no one is too silly to ask for, because all we can do is ask.
Mm-hmm. All they can do is say no, but, yeah, you know, they'll definitely won't say yes if we don't ask them.
Exactly. So if there's anyone you'd like to hear us to chat to over 2019, Let us know either in the comments, on the website, on the Facebook page, wherever you're listening to us. I'm sure you can write something or send us something. Mm-hmm. And we will do our best to see if we can make that happen. We've been speaking to quite a few people over the break, over Christmas, particularly while we're on holidays, about organising some crossover episodes with different podcasts and different organisers around the world. So hopefully we can make those happen in the coming months. Thank you very much again for listening to us and for your support for through 2018 and into 2019.
Yeah, we hope that 2019 brings exciting things to all your hobby life.
Yeah, so we're going to keep this intro, outro, whatever I call it, to just this 4 minutes. There you go. You can't...
He doesn't want me to talk about any kind of goal setting
exactly.
anymore.
Exactly. We're done. Right. So that's bye from us, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah. Happy gaming, everyone. Happy goal setting. Happy resolution setting. Oh, it's awesome.
Where's the off button?
You've been listening to the Objective Secured podcast. If you'd like to get in touch, you can visit our website, objectivesecured.com.au. You can find us on Facebook, Facebook.com/objectivesecured, or you can email us, obsec@optusnet.com.au. Thanks for listening.